I grew up in the height of the late 80s and early 90s, and there was no shortage of things for boys to get involved in. And depending on when you grew up, you might have had discussions or debates or arguments even with your friends, kind of like I did. Maybe you argued about who is the strongest Avenger, the best shortstop, who is the toughest wrestler, or who is the best Ninja Turtle, or what was the best Star Wars movie. But among my guitarist buddies, there was a hotly contested debate about who was the best guitarist. And for some, it was about the total package, like who had the best tunes, who had the best tone, who played the coolest guitar, who had the most emotion or the best hair. But for some, it all came down to who could play the fastest, what we called shred. And for a period of time, there were many who would say that Michelangelo was the best, simply because he was the fastest. Now, I remember as a young boy, this picture in a magazine. It's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, he had to have four guitar necks because, well, it was the 80s. Now, I'm not suggesting that Michelangelo isn't talented. As a musician, I recognize there are skills to his art, and I could marvel at his technique. I actually was even a little envious of it, but I couldn't listen to him for very long. To me, it just became noise because it never stopped. Now, I can't play you any of his music due to the way copyright works on the internet, but Google him. And I can't play anything like him, but here's an example of kind of what it sounded like. Now, you might go, cool. But no one really wants to listen to that on repeat for the rest of your life. It just becomes noise. Now, I could play the same notes, but with some space, with some room for the notes to breathe, and it's a totally different experience. See, a musical rest is when there's breaks between the notes. See, we can admire the technique, but ultimately, music without rests, music that lacks a sense of space, it just becomes noise. See, the beauty of music lies within the rests. The great French composer Debussy is credited with saying, "Music is the silence between the notes." Now, I don't know about you, but this last month or so has seemed like a whirlwind. I can't seem to catch up on anything. My sleep, no work, chores, I just can't keep up. And even in the midst of what's supposed to be a time to slow down, it seems like instead of a beautiful piece of music, I'm just experiencing noise. But what's the prominent feeling that you've been experiencing over the past month? Drop it in the comments. Do you feel tired? Anxious? Maybe you're relaxed. Are you nervous? Do you feel like you're filled up right now, or are your tanks running on empty? Is your life filled with peace, joy, and gratitude? Or are you feeling restless, irritable with the people around you, maybe even bitter? Does your life often feel like a flurry of notes, no real sense of space, like you're missing out on the beauty of life? Well, what could your life look like if you weren't running on empty? What would life be like if you had more energy? How would your relationships with your family be? How about your relationship with yourself? What about your relationship with God? We've been spending the past few weeks in a series called Sit, Walk, Stand, The Path to an Unshakable Faith. And we sit in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not about what we do, but about what he's done. Watchman Nee said in his excellent book, Sit, Walk, Stand, he said this, "Christianity doesn't begin with a big do, but a big done." And in order to sit with Jesus, we have to learn to rest. And one of the best practices that we can participate in to help us to sit, to rest, is to Sabbath. Joel talked about this last week, and he reminded us of the origins of the Sabbath. So if the word Sabbath is one that you're unfamiliar with, take a look at that message. Now, I know there are many questions that arise when we begin to consider Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? Well, to put it simply, it means to rest, to stop. And we see the first instance of the Sabbath as a practice in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And although it doesn't use the word Sabbath, we see the example that God sets for us when he rested. He stopped from his work, and he made the seventh day holy. Now, the next time that we see Sabbath rest is in Exodus chapter 16, when after they were released from their slavery in Egypt, God provided twice as much food for the Israelites on the sixth day so that they might enjoy his provisions for them on the seventh, so that they would take a Sabbath. Then we see the command of the Sabbath as part of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and then again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But why did God create the Sabbath? See, for the Jews, it was a time to rest, reflect, and remember. It was a reminder of God's creation power. We saw that in Exodus 20. And then in Deuteronomy 5, God reminds them that this is a reminder of God's redemptive power, how he brought them out of slavery. Well, why did God make it a command for the people of Israel to follow? One of the reasons God instituted the Sabbath was because he knew that we have a tendency to make things about ourselves. And the Sabbath reminded the people that it was God who was doing the work. He had created them. He had sustained them. And he would provide for them if they would remember to trust him. See, the Sabbath reminds us that it's not about us. I asked a few questions about Sabbath online this week and got some really great responses. When asked about her practice of Sabbath, my friend Aiden said this: Sabbath is my day where God defines me and I don't. And I realized that letting myself work would tempt me to pick up my own name again and try to prove myself. I have truly appreciated how it has set me free from my own entitlement. I don't have the world at my fingertips 24/7 by choice of Sabbath. And that means I learn patience and deferment and contentment. I have to deliberately choose to delay gratification because of the gift of rest I have chosen to give myself and others. And the key continues to be, for me, letting him declare who I am and for a whole day, every week, unplug and stop trying to prove or demonstrate or justify myself. Psalm 46:10 tells us, "Be still," or rest, "and know that I am God." See, for the Israelites, rebellion against Sabbath, it was an indicator of their lack of trust in God. And I would suggest that the same hold true for us. But why do we need another command to follow? I thought we weren't under the law, but under grace. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And as believers, we find our Sabbath rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what we've been learning in this first section of this series, Sit, Walk, Stand. But see, the path to an unshakable faith, one that can withstand any storm, any loss, any fear, it starts with sitting or resting in the finished work of Jesus. If we, as disciples of Jesus, if we find our rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, then why do we even talk about Sabbath? See, because the principle of Sabbath offers us an amazing framework to understand what it means to sit. And God knew, as he did with the Israelites, that we have a tendency to make things about us, what we've done, what we can do. And that keeps us from sitting under the lordship of Jesus. See, if we're concerned about whether or not we're obligated to obey a command of Sabbath, and if so, then how do we properly obey that law? I'm suggesting that we're actually asking the wrong question. When I was growing up, we didn't practice Sabbath, at least not the way Jewish people would have understood it. We, as many of you do, observe Sunday as a sort of Sabbath, but we called it the Lord's Day. That's what they called it at my church. See, we see the origin of the Lord's Day shortly after the resurrection of Jesus, as believers began to meet on the first day of the week to worship and celebrate. Now, while many of the Jewish believers continued to practice the observance of the Sabbath, they also gathered on Sunday. Now, we don't see any biblical record of calling it the Lord's Day until Revelation. But we see the practice of both Jew and Gentile believers setting aside the first day of the week as a sacred, set-apart day. And for me, growing up, Sunday was the Lord's Day. And that basically meant that we did church stuff. And the things that we did that day were centered around our community of Christians. We'd worship together, we'd spend time with our families, we'd relax, but then we'd usually come together for some sort of Bible study again in the evening. And there were sometimes church softball games or other social activities to help us create community, but for the most part, this day was designed to be spent in and around the church. Now, Ben's going to talk to us more in detail next week about the hows and whens of how we can practice the Sabbath rest, but I know there's some questions. So is the Sabbath Saturday, or should we practice it on Sunday? Should we as new covenant believers in Jesus Christ honor the Sabbath or the Lord's Day? Well, Sabbath rest and all the questions it brings up can easily become breeding grounds for hostility and catalysts for division. So we're not going to dive deep into some of those questions and concerns today, but let's quickly look at two passages that are important for us to know before we go any further. The first one's in Romans chapter 15, or chapter 14, verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord. Since we give thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. And then in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. But these are a shadow of things to come, and the substance belongs to Christ. So, no matter how you choose to practice Sabbath, it's important to realize that Sabbath is not a burden, it's a blessing. And to the Pharisees, and to many of us, it's a burden. Let's look in Mark chapter 2. We're going to read the story of Jesus and what he did on the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. See, the Pharisees, and some of us, we think the Sabbath is a rule to be followed, not a gift to be opened. See, our obedience is not to a list of rules, but to the person of Jesus Christ. I read this week about a drug raid by the NYPD where police confiscated 23,000 pills of oxycodone with a street value of $460,000. They found lots of other drug-related items, stolen goods, even a sawed-off shotgun. But here was the interesting twist. The men arrested would send out texts to their customers, and they would let them know that they were going to be closed for the Sabbath, One of the texts read, "We're closing at 7:30 on the dot and we'll reopen Saturday at 8:15. So if you need anything, you have 45 minutes to get what you want." See, apparently these drug dealers were strict followers of the Sabbath, and they wouldn't sell their drugs during the Sabbath because that's work. See, they had this huge misunderstanding of the Sabbath. They made the Sabbath a rule to be followed. Now, I don't share that to poke fun at people that are strictly observing the Sabbath. I share it as an example of our tendency to raise rules. And what rules really depends on our circumstances and what we're feeling at the moment. But we raise certain rules above others. And in this example, following the letter of the law in regards to the Sabbath, these guys had forgotten the other myriad of commandments that they were breaking. I've heard that in Israel, there are many strict followers of the Sabbath, that there are often in hotels two elevators. And beginning on Friday evening, in one of them, the buttons on the floor that you would press to make it go to each floor, they would turn off. It's called a Sabbath elevator because it's considered work to press the button that will take you to your floor. So the elevator's in Sabbath mode. And so what it does is it stops at every floor. Nobody wants that, right? I mean, what a way to take a rest. So of course, people often just take the stairs. Now you may be asking, isn't it more work to actually walk up the stairs? And you may be right. See, again, there's nothing wrong with putting systems into place to help us observe the Sabbath. But we can often make it about the rules and not the reason. See, I've heard that in this situation, there are people who will wait on the other elevator, the non-Sabbath elevator, and wait for someone else to come and ask them to press the buttons for them. And this is what Jesus is addressing here in Mark. The people had twisted the good of the Sabbath so much that they were missing out on the blessing. They were suggesting that this healing should happen another time, that the good that could be done in that moment wasn't worth it. How does this happen? Why do we so often view the Sabbath as a burden, as a rule? See, we often see the things that we ought to do as something that goes against what we want to do. And those good things of God, they then become an obligation, not a gift. Have you ever had a car run out of gas? When I was a teenager, it happened to me very often, I'll be honest. Because then you didn't get those warnings that would tell you you were almost out of gas, and it certainly didn't tell you the exact number of miles you had left till you would sputter out on the side of the road. And I was often in too much of a hurry to stop, so I'd try to push it. Or, more likely, I didn't have any money, so I would just hope that I would get to where I was going. But I often didn't. And I'd be stuck on the side of the road and have to walk to a gas station to try to get some help or call somebody on a payphone. Now, I don't run out of gas in my car anymore, but I run out of gas often in life. My tanks are often near empty. In his book, Take the Day Off, Robert Morris says that we have a physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual tank. And at some point, each of these can become empty. And when we're functioning with low tanks, it affects us both physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Joel touched on this last week in regards to our physical tanks. Remember, he said, we're literally killing ourselves. But God doesn't want us to just keep those tanks from being empty. He actually wants so much more for us. John 10:10 says, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, God doesn't want us running out of gas, but he also doesn't want us riding around with just a quarter tank. He wants us to experience the fullness of life. But so many of us have a hard time believing that. We just don't trust God to provide. Morris goes on in his book and he says this, we have a stunted, distorted view of our generous God if we believe that he wants to offer us less on his holy day than we can offer ourselves. The Sabbath is a gift, and our observance of it is a bold declaration of our trust in God's goodness and ability to provide what we need, heart, mind, and body. So why do we struggle to let go of the reins of our lives and experience a Sabbath rest? Why do so few Christians open up the gift of the Sabbath? Well, if you're anything like me, it's because it's not natural to stop, to rest. Joel touched on this last week, that we as humans, especially as Americans, we take a sense of pride in our overworking. Now, those of us of a certain age, we might remember when things were a bit different, when Sundays were slower and our weekends, they had more margin, when life had a sense of rest. But now, we wear our busyness as a badge of honor. See, we become both the master and the slave driver. We've become humans doing, not a human being. Now, we might not physically be under the slavery of a pharaoh, but we've created our own pharaoh. It looks a lot like this, doesn't it? See, I believe God knew that this was going to be a problem with us. That's why one of the reasons that he gave the people of Israel the gift of the Sabbath. He knew that unless we were reminded that it wasn't about us, it wasn't about what we did, what we were doing, that we wouldn't rest. So he started out from the creation of the world, giving us an example. Judith Shulevitz, a New York Times consultant or columnist, wrote an article on the Sabbath. And she said this: "The lonely Sunday has been replaced by the overscheduled Sunday. Soccer Sunday, Little League Sunday, yoga class Sunday, catch up around the house Sunday. Americans still go to church, of course, but only in between chores, sporting events, and shopping expeditions. Most people mistakenly believe that all you have to do to stop working is not work. The inventors of the Sabbath understood that it was a much more complicated undertaking. You cannot simply downshift casually and easy. That is why the Puritan and Jewish Sabbaths were so exactingly intentional, requiring extensive advance preparation. The rules did not exist to torture the faithful. They were meant to communicate the insight that interrupting the ceaseless round of striving requires a surprisingly strenuous act of will, one that has to be bolstered by habit as well as by social sanction." She goes on to say, "Why should God have considered it so important to stop? We have to remember to stop because we have to stop to remember." Maybe this is why God made this a command for the people of Israel. Not to be a burden, but because he recognized that without a command, they wouldn't do it. So if the Sabbath rest of God is a gift to be opened, not a rule to be followed, not a burden to be tolerated, why do so few of us open this gift? Honestly, I think it goes back to our pride. We don't think we need to. We've got this. "I'll rest when I'm dead," we say. Well, you're right. Mark Driscoll said, if you don't take a break, we break. Next week, Ben's going to walk us through what a Sabbath rest could look like for you. But I think the question you have to wrestle with before you can talk about how to Sabbath is, do you want to? And I think the answer for many of us is maybe. And I think for us to move from seeing God's principle of Sabbath rest as a gift, not a burden, we have to come face to face with a pretty big truth. And that's this: most of us don't want to experience Sabbath rest. Why? I think John Piper sums it up well when he said, "I think it's the fact that not many people really enjoy what God intended us to enjoy on the Sabbath, namely, himself." See, put bluntly, we don't enjoy God. See, we understand the physical benefits of rest. That actually appeals to many of us. But can we recognize that we can't function as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ with less than full tanks? But see, if we're honest with ourselves, the idea of setting aside a day, or really any time to spend it with and for God, that just doesn't appeal to us. See, we've lost sight of finding joy and delight in the presence of God. See, we've learned to fill our time with poor substitutes for the goodness of God. And I don't mean just sitting all day reading your Bible, as good as that would be. The reality is, though, that as we grow in our enjoyment of him, everything that we do can be sacred, everything can be worship, and everything is holy. Ayn Rand said, "Admiring something great is the rarest of pleasures, but most of what excites us is trivial." Open up to Isaiah chapter 58. I want to share this with you. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it not going your own way and doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Finding joy in the Lord. That's a beautiful phrase, and we sing about it, but do we really want it? Joel shared with us from Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 9. He says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." And we've shared this passage each week as part of our series from Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, God wants us to experience rest, but not just rest from our work, rest in him. Adam Mabry said, "If we're not finding our rest in God, we're wrongfully finding it somewhere else." I recently had to come face to face with this issue in my own life. My tanks were near empty. See, I had pridefully, although I'd never admit it, gone over 20 years and never taken more than 2 weeks off. And even those breaks were few and far between. I had not been honoring the principle of Sabbath rest. So I was able to go away for several days with the sole purpose of spending time with God. Now, for some of you, that sounds really appealing. But for others, it sounds pretty boring. What are you going to do? No electronics, no distractions. That's right, intentional time alone with God. And let me tell you, for a doer like myself, it's not easy. And it wasn't. But it was good. It was a joy. See, in that time, as I turned off my noise, I stopped playing so many notes. I was able to listen. Listen to what God was doing in my heart. I was able to talk to God. And more importantly, I was able to listen to what God has been trying to tell me. I was just too busy to hear. But you know what happened? I came back to work. And it was right before Good Friday and Easter, and we were trying to figure out what to do in this COVID season. I hit the ground running. I was refreshed. I was recharged. My tanks were full. And I went the next 14 days without taking a break. I fell right back into my old sinful patterns. And my tanks, they didn't last very long. I went right back to a human doing, not a human being. Now, I can try to justify my lack of rest by saying, well, I was doing good things or I was doing it for God. But I began to see my focus shift. I wasn't as dialed into the needs of others. And I was tired. My body started to ache again. I wasn't as connected with my family at home. I needed a Sabbath rest. I needed my tanks overflowing. See, I'm honestly still learning this. This is one area in my life where I become painfully aware that I need to grow in. See, God's given me this amazing gift, and I so often just leave it unwrapped under the tree. I need to grow in the habit of Sabbath rest and grow in the joy of the Lord. So how are your tanks? Are they full? Do you feel a strong sense of rest and peace in your life? Is your life filled with joy and peace, an overwhelming sense of gratitude? Well, if not, then may I suggest that you look closely at this idea of Sabbath rest. See, Sabbath isn't about what you do. It's about what's already been done. So spend some time dreaming. What could your life look like if you were working with your tanks full, all of them? How would your life be different? What connections could you have with your family? How would your relationships be with your friends, with your God? See, what if your life wasn't just a frenzy of notes, but what if there was a beautiful composition just waiting to come out of your life? If you would just find a rhythm of rest. But don't stop there. See, it's not just about you and your life. The benefits of living life with a rhythm of rest go so much more beyond just a healthier body and better relationships. As you grow in your practice of Sabbath rest, as we live our lives out of the overflow, I believe we'll grow in our love for the Lord. We'll experience what Psalms 34 tells us, to taste and see that the Lord is good. What was once a burden for us will become an amazing gift, the joy of rest in Him. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this gift of Sabbath rest that you have given to all of us. Lord, I know in my own life I often don't open up that gift. And I confess to you that I so often make it about me, about what I'm doing. And I forget to just stop and rest in what you've already done. Lord, I know I'm not alone in that. So I just ask that for all of us, Lord, who struggle with this living life at a frenzied pace, of playing so many notes and not leaving space for you, Lord, that you would forgive us, but that you'd also encourage us. Help us to dream about what our life could look like if we lived it for you, if we lived it with margin, if we lived it with rest. God, help us to dream those dreams and then help us through your Spirit, Lord, to live that life, to be people who have their tanks full, live out an abundance of the overflow of the joy of the Lord. God, how awesome our lives could be if we just take the gift that you've laid right before us, the gift of Sabbath rest. God, I ask all of this in your blessed name. Amen.